Welcome to part three of the Premier Napa Valley podcast, coming to you from the Culinary Institute of America in Napa Valley. Premier is Napa Valley Vintner's annual midwinter barrel auction for the trade, and this program features brief interviews with winemakers, owners, and attendees at the event. Special thanks to the Napa Valley Vintners Association for their support. This podcast is sponsored by Waterford Wine Company. Find them on the web at waterfordwine.com.
I am here with Kenneth Olson of KK Wine. And Kenneth, you're an importer.
Oh, yeah.
But specifically, you're importing American wines into Denmark, or into Europe, I should say, correct?
That is correct. I import about from about 40 or 50 wineries in America, and mainly those on the West Coast. Primarily about California. I have two wineries up in Oregon and one in Washington State, which I import directly into Denmark. 70-75% of my import goes straight to the restaurant. Mainly those who's up in the high end, have a Michelin star or rated as a Michelin. So, and the rest goes out to private consumers either in Denmark or the rest of Europe.
How did you get into that part of the wine business?
Oh, it was very easy. The short history is usually when people are asking me that question is that I don't speak French, I don't speak Spanish, I don't speak German, I don't speak Italian. That is a short version. But the true version is actually I was over here 5 years ago to learn what is in the bottle and what is behind the bottle, what is all the work before the wine comes in the bottle. And I was over here a little bit early. I was searching for an internship, or just a free labor. I had taken 3 weeks off my job. So I traveled over here, got an airline ticket, a car, went up to Napa Valley. It was too early. Grapes was not ready to be picked yet. So I ended up down in Santa Rita Hills, met a Danish winemaker down there. And he took me out in the vineyard. He learned me basically everything about how to make the wine. So I promised him that when I came back to Denmark, I will find a Danish importer for him, despite that I actually knew that it might end up being myself. So I came back 1 year later, and at that time I had started up my company. I had done all the paperwork, I got all the proofs from the government, and everything was settled. I started up importing three wineries from down there, Santa Rita Hills. It was Burr Clifton, Harrison Clark, and the Danish winemaker is actually Peter Werk, who has Ampelos. He's not in my portfolio anymore. But from there and then until today, where I actually import some of the most sought-after American wines, which is Screaming Eagle, Dumas, Rocchioli, Scarecrow. It's just been, going up. And actually, I have a turnaround. I'm doubling my turnaround every year. So in Denmark, it has not been a crack for me to import American wine. And I'm apparently the restaurants in Denmark is very glad to have them. And they can match easily to the food we have.
I'm sure they enjoy learning about American wines. Was that the Danish winemaker we were talking about, Henrik Poulsen, by any chance?
Now, Henrik Poulsen is a very good friend I have over here.
Oh, okay.
Henrik is one I met actually 3 years ago. And we have since then just continued our friendship. And every time I'm in California now, I stay with Henrik, and we are going out having good wine, good food. And every time Henrik is in Denmark, we try to get out to visit some of the Michelin restaurants there as well. So we're trying to keep our friendship tightly bonded.
So, Kenneth, online, how can our listeners find out about you? Do you have a website?
I have a website. It's kkwine.dk.
Excellent. Kenneth, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm here with my old friend, Henrik Poulsen, of Alpha Omega, but we're not going to talk about Alpha Omega today. We're going to talk about his new effort he's going to be starting up. Why don't you tell me about that? Or you've already started, I should say.
A small little production called Release Winery, and we are in the early upstarts of branching that. Tiny little production, possibly 60 cases of Rutherford Cabernet Sauvignon from the 2010 vintage.
So what made you decide to do this, to go off on your own?
Well, I think it's important to kind of, next to your full-time job, also have something that takes your mind off, I should almost call it beaten track. And do something that is more of a free spirit winemaking thinking. So this was kind of a fun way of of doing a little bit of stress release from the full-time job, and also to kind of be your own boss.
Hard to believe that there's stress in winemaking.
It's quite a bit of stress in winemaking, but it's at the end of the day, it's very peaceful. But during the hectic process of making the wine, it's quite a bit of stress. It's quite a bit of long hours involved in harvesting and upbringing of the wine. So even though we're still making only 60 cases, it's still a stressful job. But definitely with some benefits and some pleasures.
And you're doing this with Eric Ackerman, who's also an alumni of Alpha Omega, right?
That's correct, yes. Eric and I, we're longtime friends, and we've always had the same passion for wine, and we felt it was right to kind of branch out and do our own little gig, and we'll see where we take this brand initially, but it's the focus will always be on small production, high end. Again, focus on the quality, and it's something that we feel that we need to share with as many people as possible, and we will definitely make an effort of keeping it reasonable price. So this is not to get famous, and this is not to get rich. It's simply our way of having some stress release.
Well, you never know where it may lead. Do you have a website yet at all?
We have a website soon to be launched, which is www.releasewinery.com.
Excellent. Really great seeing you again as usual, and nice learning about your new project.
Always a pleasure seeing you, Ray. Thank you.
Now we love what we do.
I would agree with that. I think we're lucky to be able to do it. We do as well.
Amen.
And I am here with Tor Kenward once again. We are
Hello,
here
Ray.
At Oxford. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Can't be any better.
You know, that sounds like it would work.
Yeah.
Here we are in the Shea at the old Christian Brothers Winery. 200 lots of unbelievable wines, all barrel lots, except for the Schramsberg.
Except for that, yes.
Yeah, late disgorged, 1996, I think.
I didn't get to try that.
Or 1896.
1896?
Yeah, it's been in the bottle a long time.
Wow. I think my leg has just grown by about a foot or so. 1896.
Well, maybe not that old.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, but you know,
some serious disgorging, I'll tell you that much.
Well, the Schramms family have been in the valley that long.
That I do know.
Maybe not the Davies. So there's a lot of history here. We poured a wine from a very famous vineyard called Bechstoffer Tokalon.
I think I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's eminently drinkable.
Very drinkable.
Yeah. Eminently very expensive, but worth every single nickel that we put into that one.
How many cases do you have for your lot this year?
5 cases.
Oh, they're not here in this barrel right now? I guess we have to wait a little while for it, huh?
Yes. I don't think that's going to see the bottle till maybe August.
Well, and I think that's something for our listeners to understand, that though people are bidding, and they're bidding certainly serious amounts of money here, there's a waiting period involved because, of course, the wine is still in the process.
You know, that's a good point. So we do 5 cases. We do this every other year for Tor Kenward Family Wines. And last year, I think it went for about $26,000 for the 5 cases, or the year before. You know, that's a lot of money for
a very
young bottle of wine. So there's a couple of aspects here. One is, hopefully, it's a good investment, but you're also making an investment in the infrastructure of Napa Valley. So this is where people show up and they say, because the money doesn't come to the vintners. The money goes to the Vintners Association. And what they do is put it into the recognition, promotion, and protection of the Napa Valley.
So let me ask you a curious question, and I hope it's not an ignorant one. When you make this wine, this special wine for this event, obviously you make a barrel. I assume only one barrel, obviously.
5 cases.
5 cases, but in a barrel there's 24 cases.
Right. There is, and what we'll do with this is that once we get the final blend together, we will isolate those 5 cases, and bottle it just separately as five cases. So it's kind of crazy.
So our listeners understand it is going to be blended, and that's what's going to happen. So it isn't one just one barrel.
It's not just one barrel. It's less than one barrel.
Right.
It's a little crazy.
It is crazy. Well, you guys are kind of crazy.
Yeah, we're very crazy. But you know that. You're getting to know us. So.
I know that. That's why I come out here all the time. It's not just the wine, because you guys are all nuts.
Well, you know, I've been in the wine business now about 37 years, and to be in the business that long and still enjoy what you're doing, yeah, you got to have a couple loose screws.
I think you'd be an excellent poster boy for the business, just for the simple fact that you're a lot of fun to talk to, and you take it seriously, but you don't take it that seriously all the time.
No. This business is, it's about people, it's about enjoying what you're doing, having some passion, and hopefully sharing a few glasses with great people and good friends over the years.
And I've been fortunate enough to be able to do that at your home, and I appreciate that, and I thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Ray, and you're overdue to come again.
I will be. In fact, I would like to do that again. Thank you.
Excellent.
All right, I'm here with Paul Leary of Blackbird Vineyards. How you doing, Paul?
All's well today. A little hectic, but running.
I don't know. There's not many people here. Oh, wait, everybody's at the auction now. What am I thinking?
Exactly. Amazing turnout. Was it 75 degrees out in a late February day? Absolutely perfect.
Yeah, that is actually kind of impressive of the draw of the auction, where people could maybe go out and enjoy the valley. Instead, they're inside enjoying the valley.
Exactly. And what you've seen in the last few days, though, all these open houses, most of the times they're occurring in dark caves. I think that the last few days they've been outside in people's vineyards, just enjoying the incredible weather.
So just to be clear on your title, you are the managing partner and president?
Yes, exactly.
You know, that sounds like I knew that, too.
Close enough.
Yep. So tell me about your auction lot that you're pouring today.
65 Merlot, 28% Cabernet Sauvignon, and then Cabernet Franc, all hillside fruit from the Stagecoach Vineyard and a vineyard up on Diamond Mountain on the west, northwest side of the valley. Beautiful, elegant wines is what we try to produce. Primarily Cabernet Franc, Merlot, and any given vintage. We blend a little more Cabernet Sauvignon this year.
I got to believe that this fire that we had on the east side of the valley had to be a little bit scary for some of you folks here.
Pretty interesting. We've had so little rain this year thus far. Now, I think a little bit of a freak occurrence with the winds that were coming through the valley, but it's going to be a good year as long as we don't get a frost that decides to join us in May or June.
Yeah, that's what I've heard from a number of winemakers, that this could be quite a year as long as Mother Nature cooperates.
Could be absolutely phenomenal. We can't have this little rain 2 years in a row. But for a year like this, there's a lot of water in the tables right now, and the reservoirs are pretty full, so we're pretty happy.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, at least gives you a little bit of backup, right?
That's what we need. Yeah. Exactly.
And I imagine the reservoirs are full because of what happened in fall, right?
Yeah, exactly. And last year, the amount of rain we just got in October alone. But truly, for a winery like us, we left the fruit on the vine. And as you might know, October 17th, October 20th, shot up to 85 degrees, humidity went to nothing. If you left your fruit out there and you had physiological ripeness, you're pretty happy.
But there's no predicting what's going on here, is there?
There is none. Yeah. It's Mother Nature. She giveth, she taketh away.
There's so much work that goes into both the art and the science of winemaking.
Definitely. And one of our strategies, we're a small winery overall. We have vineyards all over the Napa Valley. Even the microclimates, you know, from the southern end to 20 miles north in the northern end, that allows us to play Mother Nature's hand a little bit more cleanly.
Excellent. That's not a bad thing. And how many cases of wine are you making for Blackbird?
We will crush this fall, our 10th anniversary, 2012, about 8,000 in total. Yeah.
Nice.
So you actually have to sell it.
Yeah. Do you? You don't just give it away?
We try not to. There's actually P&L.
Yeah, kind of works into the process, doesn't it? If our listeners would like to learn more about Blackbird, how would they find out about you online?
BlackbirdVineyards.com. When they come to the Napa Valley, they can visit us at Masonry Napa Valley. It's a beautiful art, wine, and design collective in Yountville.
Great. Yep. Thanks very much, Paul. Pleasure meeting you.
My pleasure. Thanks for the time.
O'Gorman. That's an interesting name.
It's an Irish name.
I'm assuming you're Irish with that kind of a name. I'm here with Christopher O'Gorman of Maryvale Vineyards. Chris, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good. I called you Chris. Is that okay?
Perfect.
So you're the communications director over at Maryvale?
That's right. Maryvale Vineyards and our second brand, Starmont Winery.
And Maryvale has an extensive history here in Napa, if I'm not mistaken.
We do. Over 25 years making great wine from top vineyards. And here we are again at Premier Napa Valley.
And what was your auction lot this year?
Our auction lot is 100% Cabernet from our estate vineyard, about 1,000 foot above the town of St. Helena. It forms the basis of Profile, which is kind of our top wine, Bordeaux blend.
Well, I guess my big question here is, you're going to do a premier lot. Do you talk about this way in advance? Is it something that sort of just happens that you're like, wow, this is going the right direction?
Kind of both. It's you get together with the winemaker, and I say, Graham, what do you want to feature this year? And he's typically picks out his favorite barrel or lot from that vineyard, and then that's what we bring down here, and hopefully people like it.
I hope you do well. So how can our listeners learn a little bit more about you guys online?
Maryvale.com is the first place I would go to, or our Facebook site is facebook.com/Maryvale. And, you know, we try to get stuff up there reasonably often, and we do a lot of events up in Maryvale, so come visit us up in the Napa Valley.
That's a great way to communicate. Chris, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm here with Brett DeLure of ZD Wines. How are you doing?
Doing well. Great event here. The Premier Napa Valley is a fantastic showcase for Napa Valley, for sure.
Well, when I came up, you were talking to our friend Andy Dembski, and one of the things you were talking about is you believe it's going to be a record today. What gives you that feeling?
Well, Napa Valley and wine in general is just being very well received. The industry here has just got so much excitement and effort going into making world-class wines that it's reflecting itself in our customers that come here and appreciate the wines. And so it's all just, it's on fire right now. It's amazing.
People seem to be asking better questions, and there's a lot of education for wine out there now, isn't there?
There is. There's a lot of education. There's a lot of interest. I mean, at this point, America is a consuming public, even though not on a per individual basis, but on a country basis, is leading the world in wine consumption. So it's happening here in America. It's amazing.
And in America now, for the last few years, you've been outselling beer. Isn't that amazing?
It's absolutely. When my father started the business in 1969, if you would have suggested that to him, he would have laughed at you.
So tell me about your auction lot you have today.
We have something very special. So our premier lot this year is a reflection of a wine that we make that is our pinnacle wine, which is called Abacus. And Abacus is a Solera-style blend of every reserve Cabernet Sauvignon we have ever made. And we started making that in 92. So there are 19 vintages of reserve Cabernet in the single bottle. And then what we do to it, to make it very special for the five cases that we produce for this event, is we add a little Petit Verdot to it from the 2011 vintage, completing 20 years, and we call it Petit Abacus. So something very, very unusual and very special.
Okay, I know that everybody tries to create something unusual. I have to tell you, from my point of view, for everybody I've talked to today, you win. That's the most unusual wine I've heard of here today.
Yeah, well, the Abacus by itself, we've been making it now. We're heading into our 14th bottling of it this summer. And it by itself is just that. It is something very, very special. There is no one else in the world that's really doing what we're doing, certainly not with Cabernet. And so it's a special product. So it gives us a head start, for sure.
Excellent. So you're right on Silverado Trail, and you are in the Rutherford area, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Right in Rutherford, and I live in Napa, so it's about a 12-mile ride up the road on my bike in the morning. I try to do that as often as I can, so great, great place to be.
And you're doing that on Silverado Trail. I congratulate you, sir. You are a brave man.
I just do it early enough to try to beat the traffic, yeah, and weekends. Yeah. Weekends are good, too.
Yeah, but, it looks like a fun road to ride, too.
Well, it's actually got a really nice bike lane on it. I mean, and I understand that concern. There's others in my family who have the same concern. But we are huge into biking, sure. So I try to stay out actually into the mountains, and there's some good mountain rides here for sure. But sometimes you have to hit the trail, and I live on the trail, so.
And you definitely got to be a tough guy to ride those mountains, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's some tough rides here. That makes it exciting and fun, keeps you in shape, keeps you going.
Yeah, absolutely. So if our listeners would like to learn more about ZD Wines, how would they find out about you on the web?
ZDWines.com is really simple. That's www.zdwines.com, of course. And yeah, that's a very simple place to find lots of good information about who we are and what we're doing.
Brett, I appreciate you taking the time. Thanks very much.
Yeah, Ray, a pleasure, and thank you. I'll look forward to seeing you sometime in your home state, Wisconsin, right?
All right, so I'm here with David Tate of Barnett Vineyards. David, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to see you, Ray.
Good to see you as well. And you're going to be catching a plane out to Switzerland to do a dinner, I believe you said, right?
Exactly, yeah. We have a pretty good market out there, and I think the Swiss are pretty open-minded towards California wine right now, so it's great.
I've actually heard that there is a pretty huge market for Europeans in general buying specifically California wine. Is that true?
Yeah, it is, actually. I think it's just also that they're branching out. The same way that you can walk into a shop here in the United States and get Italian wine, German wine, French wine, I think they're realizing that they want the flavor of life on their shelf as well.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense because there's some great wine being made out here.
Exactly, yeah. A euro doesn't hurt either right now with the exchange rate.
Tell me about the lot you're pouring today.
Yeah, so we're here at Premier Napa Valley, and our lot is basically it's our Rattlesnake Hill Cabernet, which we have never really used as our premier auction lot, but we really wanted to do it up this year, and what we did was tweak it just a little bit by adding some Merlot, and the Merlot just kind of rounds out the edges, softens the mid palate, and makes it a little more of an accessible Rattlesnake Hill cab.
And how many cases are you auctioning?
Just five. Just five.
Yeah. Just five.
Yeah. Well, compared to everybody else, but it's such a small vineyard. Five cases out of our, 400 and something six packs, it's a good chunk.
Yeah, it's very generous. I have to say, in the long run, I mean, of all you guys here who are involved with the association, you're right, the money goes into the association to help promote the cause, but still, it's very generous.
Yeah, it is. But again, like what you just pointed out, the whole thing is that it goes towards, the vintners. Association and then further towards the promotion of Napa Valley, and so it just benefits everybody in the end.
Benefits us who get to drink your wine. So any concerns about 2012? We have this little hot streak we've had going on here.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Your listeners can't see, but as you walk into the CIA here, there's trees here that are blossoming with flowers all around us, and it's February. So, but no real fears. The vines are smart enough to know that they still need to be sleeping. And, March looks like it's going to be a cold month, and hopefully we'll get some rain in addition, muchly needed precipitation, and I think it's going to be all fine. I think it's finally going to be the great year after some challenging previous two vintages.
You are the fourth winemaker who said that to me, and I hope you're right, because we all look forward to drinking something like that from 2012.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, what we all need and pray for is another 2007, the quantity, quality year where, if you couldn't make a great wine during 2007, you better just hang up your hat. It was a gimme.
Yeah, it was a heck of a year. Yeah. And as usual, for our listeners, if they'd like to learn more about Barnett Vineyards,
go straight to our website at barnettvineyards.com. And, of course, you can give us a call up there at the winery, and our phone number's on the website. We'd love to have any of your listeners up to visit.
That's terrific. Will you travel safe?
Thanks, Ray. Good to see you.
31. Okay, 31. You can have 32 if you want. 31,000, go 32. 31,000, last call, and $31,000. So, 31,000, panel.
Thanks for listening to the Premier Napa Valley Podcast, Part 3. Our next podcast goes online April 6th, featuring Gove Celio from Neal Family Vineyards on Howell Mountain, and Adam Fox and Rich Schapelsky of Kennard Vineyards in Calistoga. Copyright 2012.